Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture, with your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection for Thursday, April 4th, 2013. Well, for the past 20 years, Modus O Dance Theatre has worked to make dance a relevant and significant art form to all sections of society. Tonight's guest, co-founder Cynthia Croker, is on the phone from the Modus O Dance Theatre office in Stouffville, Ontario, to talk about the dance company, how it came to be, and where it's going. We're going to talk to Cynthia in a few moments, but before we do, let's listen to Peace from the Haven Stance CD, Are You Listening? Interview with Cynthia Croker. Good evening, Cynthia.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
Good. Now, before we get to know a little bit more about Modus O Dance Theatre and that, let's give our listeners a chance to find out a little bit more about you and that. And like, how did you get into dance yourself?
Well, it's kind of a crazy story. My parents were mortified because I was so shy. If people looked at me, I burst into tears. They thought, oh, no, this kid's never going to make it through life. So they had this plan that maybe if she had to get up in front of people, she'd one day get over it. So I was too young, though, to start dance, so they put my sister in, and I would sit on the sidelines and watch. And I remember, I have memories of that time. I was mesmerized by what was going on. And because I couldn't get involved yet, I kept begging my mother, when can I dance? When can I start dancing, Mommy? And she said, well, you have to wait till you're 5. So I patiently waited. It seemed like forever. And I finally turned 5, and that's the first thing that happened. I can dance now. So I've been dancing ever since. I'm now going to be 55. So,
wow.
And I would have to say it helped define me. And what I found about dance is that it's really an incredible thing to define who you are to yourself from the inside out,
mm-hmm.
not from the outside in. Usually we get messages of who we are from our surroundings, from our parents, but there's something about movement that defines you from the inside out. And it was an incredible thing for me to realize that I was unique, that I was creative, that all these things were defined through dance for me.
Well, is that something that's changed over the years then as you've matured and you've developed your own style as a dancer?
Yeah, like I, it has really been a key component in unearthing who I am. You know, we're all given a unique, personality or whatever you want to call it. And but a lot of times through life and through rejection and through all sorts of different things that can be clouded over, dance really helps to chip away at that cloud so the true self comes shining through.
Well, as you've gone through it, who have been some of your influences as a dancer?
Influences as a dancer. Funny, it wasn't until, I say in the beginning, it was probably my dance teachers. But I remember I was a teenager and I saw a clip on television of Mikhail Brezhnikov dancing. And I actually had this overwhelming sense of the glory of God. Like, it wasn't about him necessarily. I remember just kind of in awe, and just I went down on my knees, and to me the glory of God was revealed through his dancing. It was quite an incredible moment. Mm-hmm. And I don't think he professes himself to be a Christian, and that's what I found interesting as well. It was the dance itself. The first thing we hear about God is that he moved. in Genesis, he moved over the face of the waters. And I don't know, I just had an incredible sense of the glory of God when I saw that. So that was he became a big influence in terms of just the art of dance. And I guess later on when we were, after I met my husband and colleagues, we went and saw Palabolas, which is a dance company from the eastern coast of the U.S. And they inspired us because they go a bit beyond, at that time, what was considered the borders of dance. They kind of mix theatrical elements into it and sometimes spoken word. And so that really, and a lot of visual effects. So that really intrigued us, and that was a huge influence. Them and Cirque du Soleil. When I saw Cirque du Soleil, they've been a huge influence in our work.
Now, you've also done some choreography in that. How did you get into being a choreographer?
In the early days, I think one of the very first pieces I choreographed was something in high school for a dance class I took in high school. And it was a piece of music that I had always wanted to move to, and I was just inspired by the music. And I had seen someone else do a dance to that piece of music. And the music is Shaft from the movie. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You know that one?
Uh-huh.
I just love that song. I don't know what it was. And so I think that was the first piece I choreographed, and then performed it at a arts festival at my high school. So that was kind of, I think, got my, taste buds really for choreography, and at that time, and it continued for quite a while, that if I choreographed, it was I was inspired by the music, and the music led the choreography, and now I define it as making music visual. So that's really the only kind of choreography I explored until I came to Canada and saw other ways to do it.
Well, is there a preference between doing choreography or doing dance, or it's just two different type of skill sets that you like using?
They're actually quite different when you're actually working, when you're choreographing, and when you're actually dancing. Because you're serving a different thing. But I enjoy them both, yeah.
Well, what I need to do is take a quick break here, and we'll continue. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Modiseau Dance Theater's Cynthia Croker. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM, your inspiration station.
Only imagine who
back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to Who Are You from the Are You Listening CD, the latest from Haven Stance. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to continue our conversation with Modiso Dance Theater's Cynthia Croker. Cynthia, you're one of three co-founders of Modiso, along with James Croker. I'm assuming there's a relationship there.
Yeah, he's my son. No, he's my husband.
Yeah. And Jack Langenhuizen.
He's in very good. Yeah, that's a tough one to get your tongue around.
Yeah, that's the Dutch there.
Yeah.
but along with these two guys, how did Modiso get started?
Well, it has a lot to do with where we met. At the time, there was a college that was run by Youth with a Mission in Cambridge, Ontario. And they had a performing arts school in dance and training Christians to explore, you know, the art of dance and explore how we could be involved in the dance industry. It was very much a vision to really be involved in dance as a way of communicating to the world. That was really inspiring to us, to all three of us, that dance was for communication to the world. You know, about life, about God, about who we are, about our struggles, all those things. And so we all met there, and were students there first. And then my husband and I took over that school and ran it. My husband and I actually met in Quebec. The school used to be there. And then we moved to Cambridge after we got married. So that was 1981. I came to Canada in 1980. And my husband's from Australia. So we both met at the school, and Jack is the only Canadian, and he's from Uxbridge, Ontario, and he came a couple years later. He heard about us when he was at Wilfrid Laurier, heard about Youth with a Mission. At that time, James and I were already running schools, so he saw a production of a show called Toymaker and Son, which is an allegory of the gospel, and yeah. So he came along, and they set him up, well, you need to talk to this James Croker guy. So that's how we met. And we, during that time, you know, just the vision fueled to eventually start our own dance company one day. James, actually, when I first asked him why he came all the way from Australia, he goes, I want to take over this school and run it. He was 21. And after that, he goes, and then I want to have my own performing company one day. And I'm like, wow, what a dude, you know. I thought, but the thing was, that's what I wanted to do, too.
Right.
And interestingly enough, we were 23 when we did that, took over the school and ran it for 10 years, pretty much.
Well, how have things changed with Modiso over these last two, three decades?
How have things changed? Well, when we first started, what we really felt that we were to be Christians involved in the industry, not necessarily a Christian dance company. So our audience was the world. So I don't think it hasn't really changed at all, actually, from that idea, because our work is very much focused on how to communicate to an audience, which a lot of dance work, it's interesting. They're more interested in the actual technique and art form. It's not really serving an audience a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it is, but the only dance that really affects me, really, is, other than, I guess, Mikhail Brezhnikov, but is when it is serving an audience. It's when its desire is to connect. And to me, that's an art form in itself. And that's something, when we first started, that just wasn't really happening a lot, and we were considered kind of weird.
Mm-hmm.
Because we would mix a bunch of different things in, because sometimes dance can't communicate a concept. So we try as much as possible to communicate everything through movement. The things we can't communicate, that's when we add words or theatrical element or video, so that the audience really has the context. We really feel we need to set the context for the audience. The audience knows who these characters are, what's the conflict, what are they doing. You know, sometimes we will do a piece that's just an aesthetic experience, but that's kind of rare.
Mm-hmm. Well, looking at it, and I mean, again, this is 20, 30 years ago, there was a completely different attitude towards the whole aspect of dance and faith. Did you find yourself having to kind of educate people as to, you know, dance can be an art form that can be used within this context?
Yes, that's been a huge journey. Dance has been labeled, and for sometimes rightly so, labeled as sort of hedonistic.
Yeah.
If you're involved in dance, you're just, you know, it's just not healthy to be that focused on the body and that focused on carnal things, was kind of the attitude. And it was sort of desired, I guess, you know, to kind of stay away from that. I from my own personal journey, that I really had to find an answer for that. Like, was that really true? Like, in one sense, yes, it is. You can get so involved and focused on dance that it becomes your God. It becomes everything that you live for. You know, and that's not a good thing. But that happens with everything, not just dance. That can be your grandchildren, you know. You can live for your grandchildren. Whatever you live for really is your God.
Well, and I think, too, when you look back at that stage, too, especially within the secular dance theater, there was a lot of experimentation with forms that express sexuality and the whole thing. And again, it was that whole, you know, dances of the devil type thing. It was, I think, dance and rock music in that era were the two things that you just did not go anywhere near. And especially using it with YWAM in an evangelistic context where you're trying to tell a story to people that know nothing about the gospel.
Yes. Well, I think that was a window in. I know for Youth with a Mission, because Toymaker and Son is an incredible production, actually, and it is an allegory of the gospel message.
Yep.
Toymaker meaning God and his son, Jesus, and the toys are people. So it's a look at, you know, how God connected to Earth and came to Earth through the story of these toys. And it's all done through a bit of narration, and it's all done through movement. And so the church could stomach that kind of dance.
Yep.
It had a very strong message and a very poignant one.
Yep.
And people could really see the sacrifice Jesus did to connect the toys to God.
Well, have things changed? Do you still find yourself having to educate people about how dance could be used?
Oh, absolutely.
To express faith?
A couple of years ago, I was called a whore at my church. all sorts of things, you know. And it used to really affect me. It still affects me a little bit. But I realize now I had quite a earth-shattering experience when I went to Chicago to an arts conference where I really had a face-to-face meeting with God concerning dance. And in a nutshell, I was in this room at 3 in the morning all by myself and just praising God, thanking him for allowing me to come. And when the room actually changed, it was like the molecules changed. It became very heavy, and I was pushed to the floor, and I started groaning like this, ugh. And I just said, God, what is that? And he said, I'm grieving over dance. And so God's desire for dance is huge. Like, it was just all-encompassing. That was an experience that has changed my life. I now, something shifted in me that dance is essential, you know, because we sort of feed what the world says. The world says dance is not essential at all. Like, it's just this superfluous extra, and most people is like, who really gives a rip? But when that happened to me, God gives a rip. I mean, he really, and that really set me on a foundation to really sink my teeth in. And yeah, it was something worthy to sacrifice my life to, because God cares that deeply for it.
Oh.
Because it's an expression of who he is,
mm-hmm.
expression of part of him. And so we can't shut it down. So now, so that has totally changed. So I feel totally confident to say, oh, well, you know, you're really mistaken, but I can understand how you're feeling, you know, but dance is one of God's incredible creations. We can't just throw it out. So people can't argue with me on that one. And because that happened to me, I have no, there's not a ounce of doubt in my body that dance isn't worthy to, you know, be expressed on this planet.
Oh.
So I continue to do that, and I will do that till the day I die, basically.
Oh, neat. Well, what we need to do is take one final break, and when we come back, we'll wrap up our conversation with Modus O Dance Theater co-founder Cynthia Croker. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM, your inspiration station.
Staring at the walls around, standing still without a sound, longing for days that she remembers, living without the pain. She's running away because everything feels like there is no hope tomorrow. Makes her believe this is going nowhere. She thinks life won't change. The truth is it can today. Today, yeah. Are you listening? I am here for you. I will hold you close. When you're
welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to Never Change from the Haven Stance CD. Are you listening? I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to wrap up our conversation with Cynthia Croker. Cynthia, and looking at and listening to what you've been saying in terms of the rationale for dance and how God revealed it to you, and that what has Modus O been doing lately as a dance theater?
Well, we just got back from Alberta. We were touring a show called Circus Terrifico and 30 minutes of our show Perspectives. I had to, my hat's off, go off to Alberta because they all had full houses. So the people there are really working hard to, you know, get people involved in their the arts in their community. So that was exciting. And we're gearing now up for the summer. We do summer camps. We'll be doing summer drama camps that use drama and theater at our local theater here in Stouffville at 19 on the Park. So people can get involved in that. It's for ages 6 to 8 for one camp and ages 9 to 15 for the other. And then we're also launching our show, The Little Match Go Revisited, May 30th, Thursday night, May 30th at 7 o'clock at the Markham Theater in Markham. And people can get tickets if they just Google the theater and phone the box office.
Mm-hmm.
And so that show pretty exciting because it's the composer is from Markham. He's a world-renowned Chinese composer, actually, and he wrote this music in 1977 for a ballet of the Little Match Girl of the same name. And but we thought it was interesting because he, during the Cultural Revolution, was sent to a work camp, and so he has a very interesting story. He's also a Christian, and An Lun Huang is his name, and he gave us the music and said, you guys got to do something to this. So we did, and we call it Revisited because we've actually incorporated his story into it because there's a father and daughter that run a little puppet theater, and their puppet theater gets closed down because they're doing controversial art. And anyway, so the little girl starts living the mirror life of the Little Match Girl, and anyway, so that show is being relaunched, so that's exciting. And also, we're in the we're discussing the possibility. We met with author Marina Namat of The Prisoner of Tehran, and we're looking at ways of she was tortured. She's a Christian as well, and was tortured in Evin prison in Iran, and so she has quite a story, and we're looking at ways to bring her story with dance. We either in a lecture component with her involved or just on its own.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of interesting.
Okay. Well, just quickly, running out of time here, where can people find out more about Modus O Dance Theater and keep track of all these different projects you've got going on?
Well, we have a website, www.motuso.com. If you Google MOTUS O, M-O-T-U-S, space O, you'll find out about us and what we're up to.
Great. Well, Cynthia, thanks very much for your time tonight.
Yeah, thank you.
And thank you for listening to Arts Connection today. Thanking my guest, Cynthia Croker. And be sure to tune in next week for another look at where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, email robert@selawministries, that's S-E-L-A-W ministries.ca, or follow us on Twitter at selaw13, S-E-L-A-W-13. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.
You've been listening to Arts Connection, a production of Selav Ministries. Be sure to tune in again next Thursday evening at 10, right here on Faith FM.